greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
NASA discovered, and were very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is the Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientist of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space, and they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to six of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection, because now any astronomer on Earth can get a picture of it. And so, the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there's another planet. And it's heading toward the Earth. Between the Earth and between the Sun. And it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest control telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X, until I just mentioned they admitted that it is a real planet, January 7th, 2002. But they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then. But then, all of a sudden, in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there, and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system, because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. One of the headlines was massive population shrinkage. They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all. Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground in at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly, and it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News in the year 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? Could it be that 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise?
Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. It's Saturday night, May 8th, 2010, and I hope the folks out there enjoy these sound bites I've created. I'm going to be working on many more. My guest even likes them. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We got Dr. Jason Rand on the line talking about Planet X, and he'd like to get more in depth as to what wormwood really is and isn't. So if you will, Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'd like to jump right in there. Let's tell you what I think wormwood is and wormwood isn't. Okay, number one, it may or may not be called a planet. I don't think it's a planet. I think it's a small brown dwarf star. Now, why the name Planet X? Well, it's because NASA themselves coined the phrase. I didn't start it. And it's been consistently used in all the top circles of people talking about it. They just call it Planet X. Okay. But let's talk substance.
Well, we should really refer to it as is a brown dwarf, right?
A brown dwarf star. Yes. Here's what a brown dwarf star is. Usually a diminutive star, meaning not too huge, not like our sun. It's probably, I think this object is about the size of our solar system planet called Saturn. It's about that size, but it's possibly 60 times as dense, and that's what controls its mass. And its mass controls the forces it creates as it moves through space. Okay, now, we think that what it was a twin star, little baby star, to our big star. It looked just like our big star, but it was just a little baby star. Now, where did it come from? Who knows? Could have been created at the same moment that the Big Bang did it, or our sun belched it out. Who knows? The important thing is that legend and all the ancient histories and all the religious texts go way, way back. They all suggest that there were 12 planets. Originally, there were 12 planets designed by some unbelievable hand, designed for this particular solar system. Our solar system didn't just happen the way it was. There was no asteroid belt. There were 12 planets, and a mother sun, and a little baby sun. Now, about 4.5 to 5 billion years ago, we believe that a large, terribly large space body, some giant monster, you know, possibly the size of a planet itself, came smashing through the plane of the ecliptic of our solar system. Now, our solar system, everything in it, the sun, the planets, everything that composes our solar system, rotates in a counterclockwise motion. We usually think when we look at a clock of time going from left to right. In this case, they went counterclockwise. As do all the stars in our galaxy, as do most all galaxies, everything seemingly rotates in a counterclockwise motion. This object was coming through at a clockwise motion, which means it was like whatever it hit would be like two express trains coming, hurtling down the same track toward one another at full speed. So, we think that this object came crashing through the solar system. Not around it, it came smashing right through it. Like cutting into a piece of cake. And it took out several planets. One of the big ones was called Marduk. It was probably a large rocky planet at the outer part of the solar system, dead cold. And what probably happened was, when it hit it, it probably broke it into a billion pieces. Most of that, it is believed, became the what is now known as the asteroid belt. All that just didn't get there after the Big Bang. Something had to create that specific amount of debris, because it's all made of the same type of rock and stone. Okay. It hit Marduk. Big pieces of Marduk also broke off. We think either pieces of Marduk or this broken asteroid smashed into the planet Earth. We think that that's what started what's known as the continental breakup of the original landmass called Pangaea. Way back. Way back in the history of this planet. And it hit somewhere probably in the Pacific, creating the Great Pacific Rift, creating the volcanics that occurred. The Ring of Fire was formed, and that's how the planets, continents started their drift. Other pieces probably hit Mars. There's a strange, mysterious bulge at the southward portion of the bottom of Mars. It's not easily to see. They've seen it with other telescopes. How did that get there? Something invaded the planet and distorted its continuity. Another piece probably hit little Venus, which probably had life. There were probably three planets at least. Venus, Mars, and Earth were probably the three planets that were designed the way they were to bear life. And we think that this little baby sun had something to do with that. Still putting those pieces together. But it's logical. Okay? Now, other pieces probably hit other planets. If there were 12, and we only have 8 plus little Pluto, what happened to the rest of them? Well, some people think that there is another alternative planet X out there. I'll throw another one into the hat for you tonight. Suppose that there is a 10th or 12th planet out there. We can't really account for all of them, if we believe the legends. So, the other side of the coin says that not only is there a brown dwarf sun out there, but when it was kicked out of orbit, when it collided with a large piece of this asteroid, I'll get to how it got into orbit. If it did so, maybe when it was kicked out of orbit, it pulled another planet along with it. And this is the planet that people say that could be the planet of the Nephilim, as in Genesis. That's another whole show. But it's all interconnected. And by the way, there's a huge, huge UFO ET component in this entire story. I'm going to kind of end with that. If what we think is true, what happened was this little baby sun got hit a death blow, probably a head-on collision with a large piece of this Marduk or the actual asteroid, and it spun it completely out of orbit, knocking it 180 degrees, which meant it was originally moving in a counterclockwise motion as part of the sun's pattern, But in this case, it got knocked out in a clockwise motion, which meant it was cast out away from the solar system, destined to come back in a long elliptical pattern. We believe it takes anywhere from 3,600 to 4,000 years to complete. Just part of the research. Now, something out there has to shoot it back toward us. When you fling something out into space, it's like have you ever done a frisbee? You fling it out into space. It goes out to a certain point, and then it kind of ends its point of apogee and perigee, and then it reverses itself, and back it comes to you. That's kind of like how this object works. Imagine if you had in your hand in front of you a huge rubber band, a foot-long rubber band, and I asked you to put your fingers inside it and pull that rubber band apart. You'd see it makes a long, narrow, elliptical orbit. And we think that where it goes to out into deep space, taking these 36 to 4,000 years, because it's not a perfected cosmic science yet, we think that there's an object out there which some believe could be the black star component to this solar system, that there might have been actually three stars in our solar system. By the way, stars having systems having multiple stars in them is not uncommon in our sector of the Milky Way galaxy. About 85% of these regions are capable of supporting 2, 3, 4 suns in clusters with planets. So it's not unusual. So if there was a third sun component, it was probably some kind of a cold blue dwarf, something very rare and unusual. So if it's out there, and it also could have been blown out into space by this horrendous object. So now we have a multiple component which suggests that this little baby sun was cast out toward this blue-black dwarf out there. Powerful star. Huge. Probably even bigger than our sun. And it slings it back around again. And now this incoming object, we believe, is the one that everyone's talking about. They call it Planet X, and we can go on and on about it. This is the object that I believe it is. It's this little baby sun, the size of Saturn, but 60 times its mass, that we are about to encounter. It does not come through the solar system. It doesn't touch anything in the solar system physically. It just comes in on its arc, nearing the end of its approach to its mother sun, and it's slingshotted back out from behind it. And now we're experiencing its incoming effects as it's emerging out from behind the glare of the sun. That's why you can only see it, basically, from the South Pole in the Southern Hemisphere. But as it begins to completely come in closer, we're going to begin to see it. We're going to begin to see it more and more and more, and that'll be a good subject for another show. I think that we're going to actually start being able to photograph it with near normal equipment other than infrared. We'll probably be in the next 6 to 8 months. Okay, what about it? What's it going to do? Is it going to do what 2012 suggested, the movie? No, not necessarily, but we're already seeing a serious increase. Your two opening pieces talked about exactly what's going on the planet. We are in tough times. I think the reason that our planet seems so confused is that, first of all, for the last 12 to 18 months, our sun has not been acting normal in any way, shape, or form. You can just go look this stuff up. I'm not telling anything to you that came out of a Gene Roddenberry story on Star Trek. Just go check it out. Check it out online. We should be nearing the top end of what's known as a normal 11-year solar cycle. About every 11 years, the Earth comes up to its peak performance, spitting and hissing and solar flares and ejecting, you know, coronal emissions and stuff like that. And it should be peaking around July or August of 2011. But strangely enough, the sun is strangely, mysteriously quiet. Extremely quiet. Something has been affecting the performance of the sun because it hasn't been acting itself. And Mother Earth and all the other planets and everything else in the solar system takes its cues from the sun. Whatever affects the sun, anything incoming, no matter what it is, seen or unseen, affects the sun. It affects everything in its control, and we are in its control, and we are quite close to the sun. We're the third object from it.
Well, Dr. Rand, it's interesting that global warming is occurring on all these other planets in our system, but yet there's no cow farting or SUVs on the other planets. So something's interacting with those.
Of course. Everything, anything that affects the sun affects everything in the sun's influence. Okay, now, let's go into another aspect of this. We're all caught up in our daily lives trying to figure out how to keep things from falling apart. Forget Earth changes. If we didn't have, if we could put a quarter into the machine and suddenly the machine says, oh, okay, no more Earth changes. If suddenly every single day from now until 2012, I don't think that would solve any of the problems that we're having presently, from oil spills to terrorism to God only knows what's going to happen to this planet when the Earth decides to kick up. So my book addresses the possibilities that things might change here quickly and drastically. We have three chapters that are very important. Chapter 7 is called Order Out of Chaos. It's all about yesterday, today, the government, what they know, what they don't know about UFOs, and all about this and that, and what happened to all the TARP money and all this, and what's going on in 2010 elections. All of that's covered, and I've discovered that I could call it a conspiracy like everybody else has and wants to, but I think that, in fact, it's not at all a conspiracy, because that denotes something bad. I think there is a constructive plan, a constructive conspiracy, if you will, to prepare for the future. So I don't see anything bad going on other than we're not prepared, see. There's already a one-world government, whether we like it or not. We're just moments away from that, and there already is one. So let's not be naive about anything.
I tend to agree with you there because, you know, as bad as all this seems like, after it's all done and finished with, we're going to learn to live in the dark age where, you know, we'll learn how to get along with each other and, you know, do things like the old-fashioned way.
Well, if... Listen. Sheldon.
Uh-huh.
If the entire planet were hit by a major global earthquake, in the book of Revelation it says that, you know, the earth will tumble nearly upside down, blah, 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 blah. Talks about mountains moving. If there should be a major global event, and we lose 3, 4, 5 major cities, big ones. You follow me? We lose Moscow, we lose Paris, we lose Los Angeles. You know, I can pick anyone along any major country. London, gone. Everything would come to a halt. Everything. First of all, most nations' grid systems would be probably torn apart. So there might not be an Armageddon. You see, you can't launch missiles and you can't send armies against each other if you're basically stopped dead in the tracks.
I hate to do it, Jason, but we're coming into that bottom of the hour break.
Okay.
So if you will stay tuned.
See where we're going with this, though.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't see the gloom and doom, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. We'll be back. You listen to the Light of Day coming to you on Orion. Stay tuned.
Understand one another. Just a lot of very strange activity happening all at once. And I can't remember a time in which I've seen this many earthquakes in a single amount of time. Just very, very strange stuff.
Nemesis star going through the Oort cloud and dragging millions of comets with it and hurling them in our direction. You know, that would explain why the comets are actually hitting the sun rather than, going into orbit around it. And also, it probably would explain all the small...
There seems to be some serious observation going on in the southern hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, that's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. There's no time frame.
Here's a time frame. In January 2009, which is in 21 months, the U.S. government begins evacuating their own people, government employees, and their families from the East Coast, West Coast, Gulf Coast, and Great Lakes areas, completing their evacuations in 33 months, which is in December of 2009, which I think is significant in light of this DOD report, because they talk about 2010, which just happens to be the month following January 2010, the completion of their evacuations. 21 months is not much time.
No.
It's it'll be here before we know it. It will just fly by. And because of the disruption and the expense, they would not do this evacuation until the last moment. It's an absolute logistical nightmare to move tens of thousands of men and women, their children, their adult children, their household possessions, their pets. It's just an absolute logistical nightmare, and that's what they're in the process of undertaking and putting into place, is that huge logistical challenge. Offices of 4,000 and 5,000 people already being moved out of Washington, D.C., for example.
Wow.
It's already happening. I mean, you don't have to dig too deep to find it in open sources. As if you could hide moving an off 5,000 people anyway.
That's true, but you got to know where to look as well. And obviously, we're fortunate.
A rogue object, or is it something in a captive orbit? Or is it just the sun? But what is the sun interacting with? All right, now we go through these long periods of relative quiescence punctuated by brief moments of intense violence. Not only is the solar activity increasing, but the planets are all responding to it. Any planet that's got an atmosphere is responding. We believe Planet X is approaching from the southern hemisphere. And if it is approaching, it's interacting with the sun. And if it's interacting with the sun, the southern hemisphere, the sun is going to be more active, which it is.
The planet has a debris field that travels with it, about a quarter million miles wide, of rocks. Big rocks and little rocks. Now these bolides, I can't say because I don't know whether they're part of the things that come along with Planet X, the debris field, but they might be. At some point, we're going to be passing through that debris field, I would say.
This past week, we had no fewer than 4 comets crash into the sun. This past week, 4 comets came into the sun and crashed into it. We have hundreds and hundreds of these comets that crash into the sun, and they all seem to come from about...
We are now aware of a very large object that is coming into the solar system, and there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X. My personal study deals with what I call extrasolar system objects. Some are big, some are small, but there's no question that there are hundreds, possibly thousands of these objects which come into our solar system periodically and then go out in a long orbit. This is the other thing, is that comets have the ability to affect the energy output of the sun. When that happens, we then get severe weather on Earth. So there's many aspects to the effects that these large comets can have on the solar system and on planet Earth. But the bottom line is, comets are not
as to what the elite may be preparing for. And what that is, it's hard to say. It could be any number of scenarios. We don't really know. Of course, there are certainly possibilities of the 10th planet, some sort of cosmic event, the nemesis star, as we discussed before, possibly having some sort of role in this. It's very difficult to say. But all the information is certainly very intriguing, and it leads to something that they are preparing for. I don't think there's any question about that. And you can draw your own conclusions as to what that is.
My personal thoughts is that 2012 is when it's all over, and we start the new age of mankind. And I believe that there's going to be a number of smaller events leading up to some larger event down the road. You know, there's going to be earthquakes and smaller tsunamis, things like that. And it'll lead up to some bigger event, and then after that, it'll all be over. And I think that's what 2012 really is. You'll notice that in the movie 2012, we had a black president. The same thing with the movie.
Number one thing that people should take notice of is that the Earth will undergo a great number of earthquakes, many more than it's ever seen in our recorded history. They're much larger. They're larger and they're more frequent. They're not occurring just on the major fault lines on the planet. They are occurring everywhere.
Well, you know, one of the things that a lot of people have factored a lot of this into is do they know something about a comet, asteroid, massive body that's going to be swinging by close? And there's certainly a lot of talk about Planet X for a while there, and then it kind of faded out because, you know, people make predictions and things like that. The point here is that these things have been patterns of events throughout human history. I remember watching a program, and I couldn't tell you where I saw it. You probably have seen it as well. It was about the Sphinx, the true age of the Sphinx, and what they were saying is that there's water damage on the Sphinx.
Right, exactly.
It was there long before the Great Flood. So when you think about that, then it would seem that just like Halley's Comet comes by every 75 years, that if there is a Planet X or Wormwood, that it would be coming by on a regular basis in great floods throughout history, which are mentioned in every creation story of every single community of indigenous people, folks who have never read the Bible. So obviously, there is some memory of this.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day. Sorry I had to replay that soundbite there, but I accidentally disconnected my guest at the bottom of the hour, so I had to replay it over. Anyway, we're going to bring Dr. Jason Rand back on, and he's going to finish up. Jason, you got about 16 minutes to go yet.
Alrighty. Well, let's kind of wrap our minds around what we should be concerned about the immediate future. If all of us talking about Planet X are wrong, then we're really, 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 really wrong. Common sense would say that where there's fire where there is usually smoke. So let's assume that we just know that there's something wrong with planet Earth. There's something wrong with the way the sun is functioning. Your opening pieces gave us a clear understanding that there is something really wrong with the way the planet is functioning, and also all the other planets, and that the sun is not operating properly. So, with all this evidence, my guess would be there probably is an incoming body called Planet X. Now, if we just accept the fact that it could be, we can stop the arguing and try to figure out what to do about it. That's why we wrote the book, okay? Can I give a quick number if anyone would like to obtain a copy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Write this down. You can call 662-781-1200, and we'll get you a signed autographed copy. We'll talk a nice idea for you, okay? All right. This is not a time for everyone to be either upset or worried or scared or, oh my gosh, I'm going to die next week. Lots of people have been killed in the last, 36, 48 months through a variety of reasons. But I would choose to look at this as a time of opportunity to start getting my own personal life and house in order. I think that we should begin at an individually to figure out where I'm at, what am I going to do about it, why am I here, should I be here, and then if there's a family involved, you have to consider the wife and the children and the aunts and the uncles and the grandmoms and granddads and the entire family structures. So this is a time for reflection. The worst, I think, is yet to come. I hope not. But if we start preparing on an individual basis, Chapter 7, like I said, deals with the government, what they know and what they don't know. We talk about the whole UFO aspect of it. Chapter 8 is devoted to self-preparation. I walk you through every aspect of what would happen if, like what would happen if you were hit with a Katrina, you see, Rita, or any of these other disasters, or the earthquakes in Chile, and now this volcano going off. You know, something just doesn't feel right about the planet. Something is wrong. So if we're right, myself and the other people who are on your show and the people who write the books and commentators, if we're right, now's the time to start taking preparations for the future. Because if you don't, you're responsible for your fate and that of your family should things get difficult.
Hey, Jason?
Yes.
Have you come across any more information, what John Moore has been putting out about these various government agencies that are relocating out to the middle of the country?
Oh, the stories about Denver Airport, for instance, are all true. I used to live in Denver. I lived there for just about 2 years. I can tell you that there are well planned out and well executed contingency plans. We're seeing them work right now. I would not be a bit surprised if suddenly our troops were withdrawn from the Middle East. I would not be surprised at all. We actually need the troops home to protect our borders. We should bring home the National Guard and as many army units as we can. We don't need 40,000 troops in Korea. If that crazy person up there decided to come across, we've only got 39,000 troops. You know, he's got a 500,000 men under arms. It wouldn't last very long unless we used...
Well, it's interesting you say that because John Moore, he personally thinks that these FEMA camps may be used to house refugees as people flee the coastlines. I had never heard of that until John Moore pointed that out.
It's totally logical. Totally logical. They have to go somewhere, you see. Can you imagine evacuating Los Angeles? Can you imagine the horror story? I lived there for almost 10 years. It was a horror story at 2 in the morning when everybody should be home sleeping. The 405 looked like a racetrack. Imagine what would happen if there was a major disaster and we had to empty any of the major cities. I believe that I don't see conspiracy here. I see that we are prepared, probably more so than we realize. I just don't think that they pulled the stops out because, frankly, we need everything in reserve that we can. It's very unfortunate about this oil rig disaster. It couldn't happen at a worse time for this country.
And how do you think that is tied into Wormwood, that oil spill thing?
I can't say at this point, nor can anyone, say what actually caused the explosion. What we just heard released yesterday was the fact that a huge methane gas bubble of some sort, whatever the heck that is, was forced ejected from the well itself, forced its way up through the piping system, and then it exploded. Obviously, you know, something ignited it, and that's what caused the initial explosion. Now, I've also heard rumors that there was a C-shot rocket, that, you know, one of these cigar boats came by and terrorists fired a rocket. Bam! They were gone. You wouldn't even hear them. They'd be there and gone before you could even react at 2 in the morning, because it's pitch black out there. Now, it could have been an earthquake. I don't know about that. So there are as many theories as there are good, solid suggestions. But what I think we need to do is concentrate on the rest of the wells that are out there. If there should be a major earth disaster, oh, my goodness, the Gulf could become totally forever, ever unusable.
Hey, Jason?
Yes, sir.
That's another thing I wanted to ask you. It's really bothered me. There's so many people that want to blame Project HAARP on causing all these weather warfare events around the planet. But at the same token, Wormwood is coming in and starting to interact with our planet, causing a lot of these Earth disasters. What would you tell somebody about that?
Well, HAARP's a very, very controversial and very, very sticky subject to discuss. They either hate you to talk about it or you know, with them, whatever. I would say this. If HAARP is partly responsible for some of these things, not a good thing. However, it makes a great cover, doesn't it? These natural Earth changes make a great cover. You see? So that would be my answer. I'm not sure. I don't believe that HAARP is deliberately causing these. I really do not believe that. There might have been some accidents. I don't know. But that's not the issue. The real issue is that there is an incoming body. We believe it's Wormwood. We believe it's this baby sun. It's coming back on its regular tour, and it just happens to coincide with the Book of Revelation's predictions, plus all the Mayan prophecies. You see, when they say the end of time, they're not talking about human time. They're talking about time in terms of cosmic periods. We're entering the end of one cosmic era for our solar system and the galaxy. This goes way beyond mankind and way beyond Christmas and New Year's and Easter and Thanksgiving and all the wonderful love and tradition that exists on this planet. We could be given a rude shaking and awakening. And things could drastically change here so that we don't destroy the planet. You see, if I was in charge and I wanted to get your attention, I'd probably shake the heck out of you. And you'd probably fall down on your hands and knees and wonder, oh, Lord, what's going on? So if I wanted to stop this planet in 24 hours, all I'd have to do is cause it to have a severe earthquake. And I don't think that HAARP would be strong enough to do that. So if there is a major series of quakes, I believe it's a cosmic event triggered by this near passing of this celestial object. If we're all wrong, I'll be the first one to say, Sheldon, my friend, I am so relieved. I was wrong. I'm glad I'm wrong, but at least I helped everybody get prepared. So that's my message in writing this book. I believe it's going to happen. I believe it could vary in its intensity. I think that we're well into its opening stage of this drama. We wrote the book with the understanding that we were trying to project the events in the future, and everything that we've written about in this book at this time. By the way, it took 7.5 years to write it and research it. It took another 2 years to print it and distribute it. This has been a work of love, but it's also a work that we hope the public will take seriously. Once again, if you'd like to get a book, it's called Return to Planet X, 662-781-1200. We have a really great website, returnofplanetx.com. Real simple, returnofplanetx.com, and there's a little hyphen between the T and the X.
Yeah, I've checked it out. Hey, John, I mean, Jason. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to point out, you know, if we all end up being wrong about Wormwood, then again, they could unleash all their high-tech weather warfare technology to make us think that, you know, that is the result of Planet X. But, you know,
well, that's another new theory now. That's the first time I've heard that one. And that's, you know what? Okay, I can't say no to that one. That's not beyond reality.
Well, my point is, in the end, nobody would be able to prove the signature of whatever event caused all this, right?
Right, but I honestly don't think. See, I don't think that they're smart enough to do that. I honestly don't. That's real dangerous stuff here. What you're saying there, young man, that's almost like treason. You know that, don't you?
Well, I just wanted to point it out for what it's
worth. I know. No, listen, I don't disagree with you, Sheldon. What I'm saying is, I don't want to look at this through conspiracy glasses. I want to look through it with reality glasses. I need to really know what's happening on the ground. I don't want to be caught up in controversy and conjecture and argument, because I know that there is a very serious time period ahead of us, not only for this country, my town that I live in and my family and everybody. I'm talking to everybody that I can talk to that will listen about at least getting prepared. Have 1 month of provisions. If you just have 1 month, imagine how far ahead you'd be than the average person who doesn't even know what we're talking about. Did those people who got ripped apart by that awful, awful tornado, by the way, it just missed me by about 75 miles.
Oh, wow.
It ripped a pathway 365 miles long and a half mile wide. Can you imagine looking out from space and seeing this huge scar on the Earth? That's the power of the planet at work.
Well, that's just another thing. As Planet X starts to get closer, it's going to cause 200-mile-an-hour winds, plus we'll start seeing hurricanes more often over land, so that would be pretty interesting.
That could be the advanced era of that destruction period. I'm hoping it'll never get to that, because if it does, we're in big trouble, really big trouble. We can't sustain the hurricanes that we're having right now. I am a little worried about this coming hurricane season, especially with this oil problem that we're having. Imagine if a huge hurricane came tearing into the Gulf of Mexico. It would be catastrophic for 400 miles inland.
Have you ever been on the Coast to Coast show with George Norrie?
Yes, several times.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it very, very much.
Well, I hate to do it, Jason, but we only got like 2 minutes left in the show.
Okay.
If you'd like to wrap it up with your contact information, I wanted to let
you
know I really enjoyed you.
Our website is returnofplanetx.com. It's a great website. It's got music, and it's got wallpaper, and it's got conversations, and it's got videos. It's got everything. And we also give you a preview of the book there. By the way, we also have our book is available on ebook. So, if you'd like to get an e-book, 1-800-247-6553. 1-800-247-6553 for an e-book. You'd have the book in like 25 seconds.
Jason, the show's done. Thanks for being on. We'll have you back.
Thank you, buddy. And everybody, now's the time to be aware of who we are, and let's get prepared.